Stand to your feet to Luke chapter 15. We're taking a break from Philippians today. We're going to preach a Father's Day message entitled, really, just Biblical Fatherhood. And once again, the importance of influence. Luke 15, 11 through 32, you know this story as the story of the prodigal son. And the story, the word prodigal literally means wasted. So the prodigal son is really the story of the wasted son who really, he wastes a lot of what God had given him. Luke 15, 11 through 32, we're going to read these verses. And Jesus was teaching the Pharisees a lesson. He had given two previous stories about a lost sheep and a lost coin, and now he's going to move into the third one, the lost son. And he says here in verse 11, and Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. And oftentimes in this story, the sons are recognized, but really it's about the father. And the younger of the sons said to them to his father, Father, give me the share of property that's coming to me. And he divided his property between them. How's that for a Father's Day gift? Hey, Dad, give me what's mine. I wish you were dead. That's kind of what he was saying there. It could be worse, guys, on Father's Day. He said, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? He says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and let us celebrate. For this was my son who was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father and said, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and now is found. And Jesus ends the story there. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for being my Heavenly Father. Lord, teach us this morning what it means for those of us who are here who are fathers, for those of us in this room who are not yet fathers, teach us these principles about how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as the pattern for biblical fatherhood. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. Oh, we're thankful for our children. We're thankful for our two children, for our four children, for our 16 children. We're thankful for our children. There were these four guys in a hospital, and all their wives were in there having babies. And the nurse comes out to each one and tells them what's going on. And she comes out to the first husband, and she says, sir, congratulations, you have twins. He says, that's unbelievable. I'll work for the Minnesota Twins. That's weird. Second nurse comes out. She says, sir, congratulations, you have triplets. He says, that's odd. I work for the 3M Corporation. That's a little strange. Next nurse comes out. She says, sir, congratulations. You have quadruplets. He says, man, that's strange. I work for the Four Seasons Hotel. Next guy down the road is beating his head against a wall, weeping. He said, what's your problem? He says, I work for 7-Up. Oh, we love our kids, don't we? Sometimes our children obey, sometimes they don't obey. Always, at some point, they don't obey. What do we do as a father? How do we parent? How do we shepherd our children? And here, this story Jesus tells the Pharisees pretty clearly. He's teaching them a story, an illustration. They were upset with Jesus. They were always upset with Jesus. He's like, people are always upset with me. Welcome to Jesus. Come on. That's what Jesus, they were always upset with Jesus about something. They were mad at him because how dare you go out and hang out with people who are sinners? You can talk to them on the street, but don't welcome them into your home. Don't hang out with them. Don't talk to them about Christ. They were really upset, the Pharisees. See, the Pharisees were all about the outward show. They were all about praying in public, doing things before people. They were always about the show. But Jesus is always about the heart. He's always about what's inside. It's not so much the outside as it is the inside. That's the whole point of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. That's a good devotional for a week if you want to read that. Matthew 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus clearly gets to the heart of the matter in that sermon. He says it's not about the outside. It really is about the inside. It's about who you are in Christ, not so much the outward, because when the inward's going to be right, then the outward's going to flow naturally from the Lord. And so Jesus is responding. He's talking about how he came to seek and save the lost. He gives an illustration of a lost sheep, which that was really about foolishness. And then he gives a story about a lost coin, and that really is about carelessness. But now he moves to the lost son, and this story is not a story of foolishness like the first one was. It's not a story of carelessness like the second one was. It's now a story of willfulness. It's a willful son who chose to rebel and to leave his father and to walk away from everything his father had taught him. It's what Dr. James Dobson might call today tough love. And there's three things, and I got to move quickly today, that I want you to see about biblical fatherhood. Number one, I see this father with an open hand saying, I release you. Write this down. I see the father in this story with an open hand saying, I release you. Look at verses 11 through 13. And the Bible says this. And Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, give me my inheritance. Now, under Jewish law, it was perfectly legal for a son to actually get his inheritance while the father was still living. I didn't say it wasn't awkward. I said it was perfectly legal. It was okay to do that. That was kind of customary. It was still a little strange. That's not really a time you want to hang out. Hey, Dad, let's go golf. And by the way, give me all that I'm entitled to. That's not really the good conversation starter there for Father's Day between this guy and his son. That's exactly what happened. But here, he wants all of his dad's stuff. And the father divided his property between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey to a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. Listen, this father says, I release you. There comes a point in time, dads, there comes a point in time when you have to release your children and let them go. So that's usually the mom's problem. I know a lot of dads with the same problem. Releasing and letting go of your kids. Especially those daughters. That's a little different. My 4-year-old was away at a Bible camp this past week, and I got a text message that she had a quote-unquote crush on one of her classmates. I'm thinking, really? Really? You would really send that to me? I mean, really? 4 years of age? I mean, how young do they start nowadays? I mean, it's just crazy to me to think about, you know? I'm like, who in our church can help me learn how to fire a gun? You know what I'm saying? Like, who are the guys? Hands raising. 1, 2, 3. Yeah. I need some guys in this church to help me out, and we need to go to the range. We need to work on a little happy for me. You know what I'm saying? It's odd. But I understand, there comes a point when your children, not when they're little babies, but when they come of age, when they become an adult, you have to release them. And Dr. Dobson would call this tough love. You see, this father, he was wise enough to know that the way to keep his son was to let him go, and the way to lose him was to hold him tight. There comes a point, dads, when you have to let go, and your children have to make decisions on their own. Write down this verse, Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Dads, you should not only be material providers, you should be mental providers. But not only material providers and mental providers, you should be a moral provider as well. You should set the standard in your home. You should set the godly biblical example in your home to your children. Your wife should not have to be the pace setter in your home. You should be the pace setter. You should be the one leading by example. You should be the one setting the stage. You should be the one to lead out and be the man God's called you to be. This father had obviously trained up these boys. And obviously his heart was broken when he saw one of his children, one of his sons, who's going to carry his namesake, say, "Dad, I want to blow my inheritance. Give me everything that's coming to me. I'm out of here." What do you do when your child comes to you, Dad, and says, "I'm out of here"? What do you do when they come to you and they say, "I don't want anything to do with Christ and your church"? "Dad, that's your thing. That's not for me." And you know deep down inside they're hurting, and you know they're searching, and you know they're seeking, but what can you do? You can't force them. What do you do? I believe you have an open hand and you say, "I release you," just like this father did. Why? Because he had poured the scriptures into his son. Dads, are you pouring the word of God into your children? Are you praying with your children? Are you setting a godly example for your children? Are you giving them an example to follow and to be like and to trust? No matter how dedicated a home may be, there are seasons of disappointments which sometimes come our way. This father had an open hand saying, "I release you." This young man, in an effort to go out and to find himself, lost himself. Sometimes you are struggling. The grass looks greener on the other side. Isn't that the quote of Marysville, our city? The grass is greener. The water is not better, I'll tell you that. But the grass is greener sometimes on the other side. It always looks greener. If I just had this, if I just had that, if she was my wife, if he was my husband, if I just got that promotion, if I just had their children, you're always discontent and struggling with trying. But listen, dissatisfaction leads to disappointment. And that enjoyment without God becomes enslavement. And this son found it. In an effort to go out and to find himself, he lost himself. Your children will sometimes do this to you, and it will crush your heart. It will make you cry in bed at night. It will make you long for them throughout the day. You will pray for them. You will care for them. But it's so hard. Once they leave home, some of you, your children have never left home, so you may not understand this part. And in complete honesty, my children have not left my home. But here I find this man who raised his child in the Word of God in these teachings, his son. He doesn't say stop. He doesn't try to maneuver things in different ways. He says, "Go, I release you." He gave him his inheritance. Once again, what James Dobson would say would be tough love. But we go from tough love to tender love. Number two, I see him with an open hand saying, "I release you." But then I see him with open arms saying, "I receive you." Parents, sometimes you may go through this journey when your children leave, but they come back. And as a father, what do? You see this example. And when he had spent everything, a famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Look at this. This kid had everything. Everything. And he squandered it all to go out and to hang out with pigs. That's a bad day. He left everything to go out and do this. And some of you are like, "Man, my child is doing that right now." trust your child to the Lord and for the Lord's discipline and chastisement and to bring him back in the fold if he is a believer, she is a believer. He went out and hired, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but he came to himself. He came to himself. That's Proverbs 22, to train up a child in the way he should go, and he will likewise never depart that. You got to trust the seed that has been planted, the seed that's been watered in your child's life as a father. Have you been sowing the seed of the Word of God in your child's life? Have you been cultivating that relationship? The best thing you can do as a dad is to know your Heavenly Father and to walk with your Heavenly Dad. Can I say that again? The best thing for you to be as a dad is to have a growing relationship with your Heavenly Dad. And to be repenting of sin, walking with Christ, humbling yourself, always walking with the Lord. That is the best example you can ever be to your children, is to be transparent, to be humble, to say, I'm sorry. It's had to happen for me. I've had to get on my knees before my son and ask for his forgiveness for how I responded, how I acted. And model for him repentance and humility. Dads, you need to do that with your children. They know that we're not perfect, I promise. They know that. You're like, oh, if I do that, they're going to think that I'm not perfect. They know. They've been hanging out long enough. They know you're not perfect. You need to do that with your kids. Model for them humility and repentance. Model for them godliness. Model for them walking with Jesus and owning mistakes, because we all do them. This father had an open hand saying, I release you. He had open arms saying, I receive you back. He says here in the next part of the story, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have had more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? He goes, I had it so good. What was I thinking? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And this dad, he could have responded by saying, you know what? That's right. You had it good, man. You had it good. You ate all my food every single day. You took all my stuff. Your mama cleaned your laundry. She did everything. You had it so good. You just blew it and left. Well, you fired that bullet. Have a nice... He didn't do any of that. Look how he responded. He arose and came to his father. While he was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran. Listen, the boy was walking to the father. The father ran to the son. Is this not a picture of Christ and the cross of Jesus? It's a picture of the gospel. That's why Jesus is saying this story to the Pharisees. He says, this is your Heavenly Father. This boy was walking. He went out. He squandered it all. And yet Jesus runs to the cross and dies for our sins. It's a picture of the gospel. His father had opened arms and said, I receive you. The Bible says the father had compassion upon him. He knew what the boy was going through. This boy wanted to come home as a hired servant, but listen, because of his repentance, because of his confession, he no longer came home a hired servant. He came home an honored son. Look what the Bible says here in these verses. He embraced him and he kissed him. It's a little strange, but it's customary back in that day. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Look what the father does. He said to his servants, bring out the best. There's no bitterness. There's no anger. There's no resentment. There's no, I told you so. That's the hardest one as a parent, right? I told you, I told you, I told you. It's going to happen. No, there's none of that. There's none of that. It's just not a picture of Christ. And how many times we blow it as his children, and he still loves us. The father says, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Jesus always gives us the best. Why should we not want to give Christ our best? The first fruits of everything that we have belongs to Christ. He says, bring the fattened calf and kill it. I love that for you steak guys. I love that. Bring the fattened calf. Let us eat and celebrate. I did have fish twice in the past 2 weeks, by the way. I'm trying to get better there. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. And they began to celebrate. The father moves from tough love to tender love. Tough love to tender. See, as a dad, we have to have tough love with our children, but we also have to have tender love with our children. And there's a place for both as a father. Tough love and tender love. See, in verse 17 through 19, it's a model of repentance. You see, in verse 17, he changed his mind. He regretted his deed. In verse 18, he changed his heart. And then in verse 20, he changed his actions. That's a perfect picture of repentance. Your attitude changes, and then your affections change, and then your actions change. Your mind has to change, then your heart changes, and that leads to a different change of action. Somebody once said, a child is likely to see God as a father if he sees God in his father. I write that down. Say it again. A child is likely to see God as a father if he sees God in his father. Fathers, do your children see God in you? Do they see you loving them with a tough hand? Do they see you loving them with a tender hand? This father had an open hand saying, I release you. He had an open arm saying, I receive you. And number three, we see him with an open heart saying, I respect you. An open heart saying, I respect you. Look at verses 25 through 32. Father's son grew up. He trained him in the word of God. He broke his heart. He took his inheritance. He squandered it. He comes to himself. He repents. He runs home. His father embraces him. He loves him. He says, you will not just be a hired servant. You will be an honored son. Bring out the best for my son. Bring out everything. Kill the fattened calf. Bring out the robes and the jewelry and the shoes. Bring out all these things, for he is my son and he is returned home. Let's throw a huge party. And you would think that everybody's going to be happy, but not the elder brother. He's not happy about this. We see in verse 25, the father yet again has a situation to deal with. His older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house, and he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come home. Your brother's home. And your father has killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. Listen. This brother was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. Once again, the father has a critical role in the story. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command, and yet you never gave me a goat. Have you ever heard that lately from your kids? Hey, you gave my brother a goat. Where's my goat at? He said, where'd my goat at? That I might celebrate with my friend. I can think of a lot of different ways to celebrate with my friends and a goat, but that was the context for this story. He says, when this son of yours came who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. Obviously, that was a great sign of respect and joy and wealth, was to kill a calf. He says, son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive, but is lost and now is found. Charles Spurgeon said about the story, the prodigal son was resolved to come, yet he was half afraid. But we read of that this father, he ran, and he says, slow are the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. God can run where we can scarcely limp. And if we are limping toward him, he will run toward us. Though the father was out of breath, we are sure he was not out of love. Fathers, can I encourage you this morning to love toughly, but also balance it with loving tenderly as well. That is how the Lord loves us. Tough and tender and respectful. This father didn't say, I told you so. He received him back because of his repentance and received him back into the family and said, bring out the best. But not everybody's always happy. when these events occur. Dr. Jack Graham, who's pastor of the Preston Wood Baptist Church in Texas, one of the largest churches in our country, said this. He said, first and foremost, the rule for being a successful dad is showing up. Just being there. Do you know the most powerful point of this story in Luke 15? The dad was there. The dad was there. He was present. Oh, we talk about the Father's presence biblically and theologically and spiritually and heavenly. But what about the Father's presence physically? Dad, you're not always going to get it all right. You're going to have awkward conversations at times. You can't just keep telling your kids, well, babies come from heaven. They're going to have conversations. They're going to be strange and awkward, but you're going to be there. You're going to have to answer tough questions. You have to answer easy questions. You're going to have to be silly and get on the ground and wrestle and laugh and play and get hurt along the way as you get older. Those things are going to happen. One of my greatest joys came about a month ago when I went to my son's show and tell thing at school in second grade, and it was career day, and he introduced me to his class. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, all these guys had all this stuff. Like, there was a fireman. He brought the big fire truck. I'm thinking, what do I do? Bring in a casket? You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm a pastor. What do I do? Well, I don't have a fire truck. You know what I mean? And he said, this is my dad. His job is to preach the gospel. And he sat down. His eyes were beaming, you know. That was a huge honor for me that day. And I failed Caden at times. But he loves. You know, children are so Christ-like, aren't they? They just love and they forgive. And they keep loving and they keep forgiving. The greatest thing you can do for your kids is to love Christ and be more like him. Dads, we're going to blow it, but be there. Just be there. Just be there for your kids. Shut down the phone, close the iPad, and I want to talk. But be there. One day they're going to be gone. They're going to be gone. Be Jesus to them. Love them. Have an open hand. Have an open heart. Love tough, but love tender. Find the balance and be Christ-like to your children. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I do know this. I know that God loves you. I know that no matter what kind of dad you had, no matter what kind of situation you found yourself growing up in, that today you have a heavenly Father that loves you. There was a verse that I forgot to quote at 2 Corinthians 6:18, where God says, I want to be a heavenly Father to you. I don't know your situation today, but I know this, that you have a heavenly Father who wants to be your daddy. He wants to love you unconditionally. He wants to love you with a tough hand and a tender heart. And men, let us model Christ's likeness to our children and to our family and to our grandchildren. To those kids on the street who may annoy us at times, you never know their situation and what they're going through. Love them as a father. Be Christ to them. But you can't model Christ for your children until you first know Christ yourself. He has to become your heavenly Father. You have to love him. You have to love him. It's tough being a dad. It's fun. It's amazing. It's the greatest job on the planet. but it's hard. And we have to continually give our children back to Him every day. We have to ask God for wisdom. Lord, how do I do this? How do I show them? How do I talk to them? How do I model for them? Talk to the Lord daily. Walk with Him. Christ-likeness. We all have long hours. We all have long weekends and projects, and we're always running. That's being a good provider for your children and your family. We should work hard, and they require long hours. But there comes a point when enough's enough. Sometimes, as my old pastor at Covery Woods used to say, Jeremy, no is not a bad word. It's not a bad word. Sometimes no is a good word. We got to learn to say it sometimes. There is a balance. So if you don't know Jesus, He wants to know you. At the end of the story, it's not closed. Theologians and scholars for centuries have debated over why Jesus never really says, does the other brother go in or does he stay outside? And all scholars believe Jesus leaves that story open-ended for you to choose. You can choose to be bitter, to hold grudges, and to go through life disappointed and angry and upset, or you can choose to forgive and trust the Lord and go inside and join the party. It's your choice. Walk on the outside. God's kingdom is going to keep marching on with or without you. And God's kingdom is going to keep marching on with or without me. We get to be a part of it, but we are certainly not needed. We don't have to serve. We get to serve. Perspective is key when the kingdom is at hand. Go inside and join the party. Rejoice in what God's doing. Lay aside bitterness. Lay aside grudges. You're missing out. You're missing out. Love Him and trust Him. Happy Father's Day, dads. The best gift we can give our children is modeling Christ. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I pray today You've been honored through Your word. And I pray there's anybody here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, that today they would repent of their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ alone. Lord, You want to be our Heavenly Father. May we love You. First and foremost, in all that we say and do. As we sing to You. In Christ's name, amen.